Good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I am visiting with Brandon Smith. Everybody knows Brandon. Of course, I had him on last year, he and Tyler Smith, after the tornado. And I hadn't had him back on, and I should have, because he's done a lot of stuff since then. He's always doing things for the county. His roles have changed a little bit within the county, but that's for the better to me. And so, Brandon, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Always a wealth of knowledge with what's going on in EMA and EMS and 911, and kind of want to get everybody listening an update on some stuff. But let's talk about how your roles have changed a little bit, I guess, in the last 12 months, really. I don't know exactly when the time frame was. I can't keep up with everything. But, of course, you were part-time EMS, ambulance service, part-time 911. You're the assistant 911 director, and that was even last time I had you, you were in that position. And we're actually, used to, there were two assistant 911 directors, right. You and Penny. And then there was a move there made where Penny moved up to the full-time director. Now we just have you as assistant director, and it's worked out really well. Y'all are doing a great job. But you now have transitioned to EMA.
Correct.
So what are you doing at EMA now?
So following the tornado, Mayor Porter and our EMA director, Tyler Smith, and I think, Penny, our 911 director, was pretty instrumental in that too. Kind of saw a need to put more focus on our emergency operations center, more focus on the emergency management side of what we do. And that's a small department. It's just Tyler and then Miss Sharon Womack, the deputy director. So they saw a need to put a little more emphasis there. As the community continues to grow, we're going to continue to have events where we need to use the emergency operations center.
Sure.
And just really build up our capabilities, our disaster preparedness, our mitigation, and our response capabilities. The catalyst for that was the tornado. Yeah. When the tornado struck, Mayor Porter had the forethought to see that, that's gonna be a long year.
Right.
for the meat of the recovery is going to take easily a year, and
sure.
We knew it would take longer than that. And so he and Tyler got together and decided to transition my EMS responsibilities to emergency management, which is a field I've always been interested in.
Right.
Since I knew what EMA was, I've been interested in it. So we transitioned that half of my duties. The other half of my duties is still the assistant director for 911. But for EMA, I manage the county's emergency operations center, the room where all the important decision makers come.
Yeah.
I make sure they have all the tools and the data and the information that they need.
Yeah.
And the resources to make the decisions. And then I'm also doing public affairs for emergency management, doing the media relations, reaching out to schools and things like that.
And you've been doing school. We'll get to that. But you've been working with schools since you've started your career, basically. And,
I have.
That's been a big instrumental part for not only our education of our students and our children, but recruiting them to get into the emergency management side of things. And,
yeah.
And the ambulance service. I don't know how many people you've seen go through. I'm not saying you're old. At all.
You don't have to. The gray in my beard shows it. Yeah.
I know we're around the same age, so if you're old, I'm old, but I know you've watched students go from high school into the field you're in.
Absolutely.
And you work with them, and you're a big part of that, kind of recruiting. And I kind of aggravate Randy a little bit. Of course, he designed the EMS, ELC, fire department, all in that one building. He helped design that, get that going. But I wonder if he had ever saw that becoming a media center for us, and I don't think he did until the tornado.
I don't think any of us did until the tornado.
Yeah.
Our plans for the media and for the broadcasting side of things was to have the media close to our building, but not inside our building.
Right.
And one of the things, everybody gets really worked up when Channel 2, 4, 5, when the news media comes to town, everybody wants to know, what are they doing here? It's a bad story. Channel 2's been here a dozen times since the tornado on things unrelated to the tornado.
Right.
Just trying to keep up with our community and get
sure.
the stories out. And so we have really good relationships with our media.
Yeah.
And we developed a trust with them during the tornado that they were in the room right across the hall, and we never had issues
yeah.
with information sharing. It was really easy to just walk over there. And give any updates to the media as well as the mayor's briefings. Depending on which one you talk to, it's the Randy and Ricky show or the Ricky and Randy show. It does have an order depending on who you're talking to.
Sometimes
they love to poke fun at each other. And,
yeah.
and that was one of the cool things that I got to see through all that was just that relationship between
yeah.
them and how it's really helped our community. But I don't think either one of them, when they came in, saw themselves as broadcasting a weekly or nightly community update. And through the tornado and COVID, it's just, it's become the way they do business and has really made a difference, I think.
Well, and I didn't plan on asking you this, but people will get in here and we'll talk about things. It'll, you know, spurn some questions on my side. You know, you got out of high school and we talked about this last time here. You had a passion. You wanted to get into emergency services, and that was, you know, you knew that. But did you ever, at one point in time, did you want to start participating with communications? And did you ever think about running an EOC? Because that's different than actually being out on the road.
No way.
You know, so where did you go to school? Did you get educated on that, or did you just learn on your own?
So the first part of that, no way. I never thought that these sorts of things existed. You know, from the outside looking in, things like the EOC and the 911 center, those are kind of the hidden gems of emergency services.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what I like about it. I've spent so much time in the schools and in the public eye. I like that out of sight, out of mind, working in the background, but you know what we refer to as the man behind the curtain kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's really cool to be able to see other people out in the public eye with the results of something that you helped develop back in the background.
Right.
And see other people flourish and thrive. So that part's kind of cool, and I've just developed it over time. Just
did the county send you to any training?
Absolutely. Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. We actually had when I transitioned into that EOC manager role, we went to a training in Johnson City, spent a week functioning in an emergency operations center, went with Barry Weber, mm-hmm. From Double Springs. He and his family were impacted by the tornado.
Sure.
But Barry invited me to go up to this training the Department of Health was having in Johnson City, and we spent a week working in an EOC.
Wow.
And just practicing those mechanisms. Had it not been for that training, I don't think I would have had quite the passion that I have for it. You know, cause there's a lot to it. There are a lot of intricate pieces that have to be planned,
yep.
Things you have to do ahead of time just in case, that everybody thinks you're crazy for doing ahead of time just in case, until you actually need them. And we used every trick we ever learned during the tornado, and it was one of our big successes, I think.
I'm big on education. I'm big on training, and I will say my agency has always done a good job, and they're doing a lot better job despite COVID, about allowing us to go to continue education, get training. And I know our county, thank goodness, with, you know, our leadership with Randy and Tommy at EMS and Tyler at EMA and Penny at 911, I know they support you and everybody else there. Go get educated.
Yeah.
Because we don't know when we're going to need this. And so obviously that training helped you. And so something else you've learned to do, and I want to transition into COVID some, but something else, Randy and I were talking about this. I'm like, you know, I know Brandon's smart. Hey, I know he's wonderful. Where in the world did he learn how to do the dashboard for not only the tornado, but the dashboard for COVID? First, I want you to talk about what the dashboard is for COVID. And then where did you get that talent or that habit to learn that?
Well, first of all, I got you fooled if you think I'm smart. So that works well. It's really working well. But GIS is something that, again, it always goes back to Randy. I tell people all the time, my life is a series of God's timing and Randy Porter's grace. Mm-hmm. It's just everything that's happened in my career has been God's timing.
Yeah.
And so this was another one of those things that, you know, Randy started with GIS. He and Mike Thompson, our assistant 911 director at that time, they started with GIS and built out the first GIS system in the county and the addressing. And, you know, we're going back to the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
And then there was a whole new series of GIS tools that came out about the time I transitioned into administration. And I just got really interested in it. I got bit by that GIS bug. I was talking to Dr. Peter Lee yesterday at Tennessee Tech, who teaches GIS. I said, I just got bit by the bug.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that it's just a new program. It's a new style of information, and it's a way to visualize just about anything, any sort of data or anything that you want to see.
Right. And so you took that and turned it into COVID numbers, I guess.
Yeah. So the state actually puts out, they have what we call a data set. Okay. So the data set in the background, or the feature service, the state puts out with the statewide numbers. And then we just built in layers. I went in and added some surveys and some local layers for the hospital numbers, for, you know, our COVID vaccines, and just started building out things to display it in a way that the public would understand it, because we did not feel, myself, Mayor Porter, Mayor Shelton, we just didn't feel like the dashboards that the state was putting out really mattered to our local folks.
Right.
It's hard to look at statewide numbers and know what does that mean to me. So we put an emphasis on trying to build something local. And we did. We built a dashboard that made sense to the public, that people understood. We built one for the computer and one for the smartphone, depending on how people wanted to view it.
Right.
You can see graphs and trends on the dashboard. And then on the smartphone dashboard, you can just see the numbers, depending on how your brain, you know, analyzes that sort of thing. So did that. We built the school system has a screening app they use every morning, every student, teacher, administrator in the system. Tennessee Tech Athletics does the same thing. I built both of their screener apps that they just pull up every morning that tells if they have any COVID symptoms, whether their new symptoms are recurring, and do you have a fever? And then it gives them instructions on whether or not they can report to class, go to school, go to an athletic facility, or if they need to contact an administrator, contact their athletic trainer. And then there are dashboards on the back end of that that are secure, that they can set at the district office or in a principal's office. And the district office can see every school in the district. They can see how many positive cases there are today. They can see how many people were sent home with COVID-like symptoms today.
Right.
How many people are being tested today as a result of the screener. So it's just really good actionable data to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's of course. How does the people access that data?
They just have a link on a smartphone or a tablet. So with the school system, they do it a couple of different ways, and it depends on what works best for the school. We tried to work with principals and really make it what works for them. So a lot of your middle schools have what they call a 1-to-1 ratio on devices. They have every child has a Chromebook or some sort of device, an iPad. So that link is just saved on their desktop. That kid goes in, logs in, and fills out their screener every morning. The teacher comes around, takes temperatures, and they put those into the system.
Okay, that's great.
But then you have elementary school. That doesn't necessarily make sense. So we set it up where the teacher can submit his or her entire class roster all at once.
I got you. That's good information. And, of course, you know, those numbers, Mayor Porter and Mayor Shelton, and I went started Porter now, so Randy, you're listening.
Yeah,
I put you first, so just
Randy and
down.
Ricky show.
Yeah. They're getting their numbers from you, the dashboard stuff, I assume. I mean, you're feeding them the numbers, right?
They have some secure feeds in the background. They see a little more data than most of the general public
sees
in the background, yeah.
Brandon, that's awesome stuff. I got two more segments with you. Got a lot to cover, but, hey, I'm glad you're here. We'll be back in just a moment here on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I'm visiting with Brandon Smith. He's two roles now, assistant 911 director, and he's working with EMA. You have a title at EMA?
Public Affairs Officer.
Public Affairs Officer. So he's serving two roles for the county, which we're blessed to have Brandon for more than those two reasons. It's just so much he's done for our county. We're going to talk a little bit more about how much he's done for the youth here in a little bit, but let's go to 911. We've talked about, you know, dashboard for COVID and your role there, and of course you did a dashboard for the tornado stuff, and that was very useful for everybody in the county and the media. Anything new happen at 911? I'm on the board, so I do know, but the people don't know. Can you kind of highlight some stuff that we're doing at 911?
Yeah, so we are we're constantly trying to stay ahead of the curve with 911. 911 is, you know, that first essential service that has to change with the community and has to be ahead of the curve, because if the call isn't answered and the help's not sent, it doesn't matter what you have on the other end.
Right.
So we're looking at our staffing. And really trying to consider when we're ready for another dispatcher in the dispatch center. That's something we're bringing before the board this year to discuss adding a fourth dispatcher. Right now we run three per shift, 24 hours a day. And we're starting to see the trend move toward needing that fourth dispatcher. So we're looking at that. We have our new next generation 911 system that's coming on board. We've had a few hiccups, few hurdles between the telephone provider and the actual what we call the CPE, the customer premise equipment, which is the software we're transitioning to. And there are a couple of connection issues they're trying to work out. Just got a phone call on the way here, actually, that we're going to do some testing this week and hope to have that resolved and be able to implement that new system. So we're putting in the Motorola CallWorks system, and Motorola is, you know, well known for anything technology, and their product's going to give us a lot more features for the dispatchers to be able to use to find better caller locations, to quickly transfer those callers or bring in things like poison control or the language line interpreters and things like that. We're really excited about upgrading that system.
Yeah, and I'm going to brag on our 911 folks. Of course, I am on the board. I'm blessed to be on the board. It's an honor for me to be there, and I try to stay out of the way, but I also try to add some value. And the work they do, work y'all do, is just it's amazing. And so I'm going to brag on you and Penny. If there's somebody that's got to be out of work, a dispatcher, or something happens where they got to leave, well, guess who usually takes that role? It's you or Penny. Y'all are in there answering calls. Y'all are in there dispatching and taking on that role. And I've never seen anybody complain. Not in one board meeting have y'all said, we're just tired of doing this. We just don't need to be doing this. That's not our job role. You have told us you have to do it, but you've never complained about it. Hopefully our board can get to the funding where we need to get another dispatcher on to help that process. We want good people working for us. We don't want to overwork them.
That's right.
You know, so I think that's something important. So y'all do a great job there.
Well, thank you.
The 911 center, I mean, it's when was it built?
2009. I believe
it's just
when we moved.
A great facility still. Y'all keep it up to date. And you're our point man. When we ask about the technology side, and like you just said, updating the system, you're our point man for that.
Right.
So I don't know how you do everything you do for EMA and 911, but I appreciate all that you're doing. Right quick, some people don't know how dispatching works at 911. Our 911 dispatch center does not dispatch for every entity in the county.
Correct.
Who do we dispatch for?
So our 911 center dispatches for all five fire departments, Allgood, Baxter, Monterey, Cookeville, and the county fire department. We dispatch for the rescue squad, the emergency management agency, and for EMS, the ambulance division of the county. We are what's called a primary PSAP, so we answer all 911 calls that come into the county. And that PSAP is a public safety answering point. It just means you're answering the 911 calls. And so as a primary PSAP, we take those calls and then we dispatch those agencies listed. One thing we are really blessed with here, that you and the rest of the board were very instrumental in, was this unified CAD system that we have. And
sure.
CAD is our computer-aided dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
So we use that dispatch system to be able to take the 911 call in the 911 center, and we enter the information in a card. And while we're entering the information, a dispatcher at the police department or the sheriff's department can see that information coming in.
Right.
So when we transfer the caller to them, they can already see the caller's location, the nature of what the caller's calling about, and it just saves time on having to retell your whole story again. So we're really blessed with that unified CAD system and doing everything we can to make sure that we keep that CAD system up.
And some people may ask, well, why did you spend the money on it? Well, we could save lives with saving time.
Absolutely.
One second can mean the difference in somebody's losing their life. And so if we can make the process easier for communication between all the entities, public safety entities in the county, we're going to do it. And that's what we did. And I think it's working pretty well, right?
It's working very well. We did a test, the first week or two after we implemented that system, we did a test just looking at actual calls that were going on in the system. And there was one call that a similar call had about a minute to a minute and a half longer dispatch time. With the new CAD system, that minute and a half was gone.
And that can mean everything.
Absolutely.
To somebody. So speaking of apps, are there apps out there for the public to download to use for their benefit with emergency management
for
or 911?
Sure. Yeah, so we have several apps in Putnam County that we use or that we recommend. One of the best ones that we have is the Putnam County EMA app.
Right.
And the EMA app has your connection to weather, local school closings and TDOT feeds, and there's all sorts of different things that are on that app. So it's really good this time of year in severe weather season. It's really good for those weather warnings. And it's one of the best apps that I have seen. And I'm not just saying that because it's our app. Tyler Smith saw the need for that and developed that app several years ago. And it really has become a mainstay for a lot of people in Putnam County. As well as the automatic alerts that come through that, we can send local only alerts through the EMA app. We can push things out to that and send you alerts for things you need to know. We use Pulse Point here in Putnam County, mm-hmm. so Pulse Point Respond. Pulse Point is an app that's designed to let anybody know who's trained in CPR. If you're within the quarter mile of anyone at a public location that might need that CPR.
Right.
So, you know, all the time you may be eating in a restaurant and you see an ambulance or a fire truck roll up at the business next door. Well, if you're trained in CPR and somebody's unconscious, you might have been able to intervene. So the Pulse Point Foundation out in California developed this app and developed this system that we subscribe to. It's nationwide.
Yeah.
So anywhere you go in the country that uses Pulse Point, if you're CPR trained and you have that box checked, it's going to tell you when somebody may need your help. Doesn't mean you have to go. I'm the one who gets the reports
right.
when we do send one of those alerts out. I can't see names. I can't see phone numbers.
Sure.
All I see is just an encrypted device ID.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that means nothing to that phone. It just assigns it a number in the system. So you don't, it doesn't mean you have to do anything, but it's there for you to be able to help others.
So I'm bragging on Putnam County again. We try to stay ahead of the times and
we try
to get information out there, for the people, because it's all about quality of life. So as a public servant, you and I are trying to make quality of life better for our people, right?
That's right.
Well, we're always trying to figure out a way to do that, and these apps will help. So, again, I download the Putnam County EMA app, download the Pulse Point app. That might mean the difference of you being weather aware and saving your own life, or maybe Pulse Point may save somebody else's life. Or
absolutely.
Your life. So that's a big deal. We got about 50 seconds on this segment. Right quick, how many counties have been calling you for help with stuff like that, the apps or anything else related to what we've been doing the last year or so?
We get several calls throughout the year. You know, the GIS stuff was a real big one. We got some calls from other places in the state and other places across the country. There were actually school districts in other states who contacted our director of schools and wanted more information on how we were doing it. And so we've tried to help others kind of go down that path and figure out how to do that for them as well.
I think that's great. We got one more segment left for Brandon. We'll be back in just a moment here on Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I'll be back with Brandon Smith from EMA and 911. Welcome back to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I continue with Brandon Smith from Putnam County 911 and EMA. So we were talking a little bit about the apps before we broke, and Putnam County EMA app has a lot of information there, especially with weather and stuff. What are good ways that people can be weather aware in Putnam County?
We're really fortunate here in that our community has bought into the smartphone, you know, the apps and having multiple ways to receive alerts. And it's one of the biggest preaching points that we have in emergency management is have multiple ways to receive the alerts. And a lot of people don't really understand what that means. So multiple ways doesn't mean have multiple apps on the same smartphone or on different smartphones, because those rely on the cell network. What we mean is have different backbones to receive those alerts. So have one or two ways on a cell phone network, one or two ways on a home telephone, one or two ways on, you know, for instance, the NOAA weather radios. Those are the mainstay mm-hmm. for weather alerting. You make sure they're battery powered. Make sure you're staying weather aware and tuned to local AM and FM radio stations, because our local stations go live and they talk about severe
True.
Weather when it's happening.
Sure. The weather radios are really good. And of course, last year I called you just briefly. I was like, man, I don't want to bother you because you're doing so much. How do I get this thing set up? And you gave me some good instructions, and I'm glad you didn't like walk me through it, because I wanted to learn. So,
yeah.
You know, you told me where to go and I got that. But what was interesting, a couple of weeks ago, we had all of the rain and potential
mm-hmm.
for severe
yeah.
weather, potential for tornadoes, and luckily that didn't really happen around here. But ours went off in the middle of the night, like at 2:00, and it was a flood warning.
Right.
Of course, I live on a ridge, and the good Lord promised we would not end the world with flooding. But if my house floods, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
because, and you want to know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Somebody call me.
Yeah. So, but we were just like, we were in a panic because the NOAA radio went off, but it was a flood warning and was not a tornado warning. Thank God. But I was trying to figure out, well, how do I get this tornado only, and figured that out finally.
Yeah.
And so, but they're wonderful people. As Brandon just said, anything you can do to be weather aware, it's, said we weren't going to talk much about the tornado, but you know, people, I was actually in Nashville, for work that one day, midday, where they thought weather was going to come through, and I was trying to get home. You know, yeah, I said I got to get home.
We were actually texting that day.
Yeah, and I'm we got to get home. I got to get home because everybody around here has a little bit of anxiety from it.
Yeah.
And we want to be aware. So luckily I got home. Nothing happened, but I got home to wife and we were good. But like Brandon said, be up to date and be weather aware on this stuff. There's so many ways to do that. People use Facebook and there's nothing wrong with that. I think the apps are a little bit quicker because it's going to give you those alerts.
They are, yeah. The apps are going to do the push alerts, and they're automated. They come through a CAP format from the National Weather Service, yeah. And our apps are the same way. We use Smart 911 here in Putnam County, and so you can download the Smart 911 app, create a profile, and that signs you up for weather alerts as well.
That's good information. So a big part of when I first started on the board, a 911 board, big part that I wasn't as aware that you did was a lot of education for our kids.
Right.
And so, again, I'm so thankful to be a part of the board that I've learned so much about 911 and how important everybody's role is. And so I didn't know how important your role was educating kids until I watched you and watched and I talked to these students and learned about their, you know, they're learning about EMS and EMA. Are you back in the schools now? I know COVID kind of stopped that, maybe halted a little bit. Are you back in the schools doing what you were doing before?
I'm doing a little bit of what I was doing before with a slightly different focus. Before was a lot of traffic safety education. It was a lot of life education. You know, I had a program for the called the DIVERT program, but it was for juvenile court system and kids who would get into trouble for the first time or maybe even second or third time. And they were just, you know, goofy teenage decisions.
Right.
We sit and talk through that and just talk about life and how to make better decisions. And that's probably my pride and joy of all the years of doing public education. I love that program more than anything because really got to know kids and got to know their hearts and help them steer their life decisions after that. But this time, emergency management's really the focus when I'm in school. So we're talking about severe weather safety. The rescue squad is actually a branch under EMA.
Right.
So, run vehicle extrication, running rescues a lot. So we talk about being safe out in the woods. We talk about being safe when you're around cliffs and bluffs and state parks. We talk about wearing your seatbelt when you're in the car because, you know, we're responding as part of our EMA duties. Tyler and I are responding to those calls for service as well. So that's the biggest thing we're really educating on in the schools.
I'm curious to know, Brandon, because you and I've never talked about it. How did you get into the DIVERT training part of it? Is this just something you saw a need and you went back to somebody in the county and said, can we do this? How did that come about?
It really was. I went to court one time with a friend of mine. Her daughter decided to run away in the middle of the night and was just a scary situation. To show some support, I went to court with them. And as I was sitting there listening to those cases, you know, the kids were getting these punitive assignments from the judge in their sentencing, if you will, right, or their diversion. So I contacted Judge Hudson after the fact and Greg Bowman and we talked through and, I said, you know, is there anything out there that helps teach them? And they said, no, we'd love to have something. We used to, and the program went away. We would love to do something. And so Judge Hudson was the champion who really made that happen and gave me the free ability to do what I wanted with the program. He gave me some parameters. He gave me some advice for dealing with teenagers and parents.
Sure.
And every bit of that proved to be true. But really, really and truly, it was just sitting and watching that and understanding that there was nothing that really taught them how to make better decisions.
Yeah.
And Judge Hudson gave that avenue.
That's great. That's something that can you continue to do that?
No, the DIVERT program went away about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, because of COVID or?
Well, where my job duties changed with EMS and 911, they wanted me to kind of put that program on the back burner and focus on the administrative
side. Is there anybody picking up the?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's any. There was some interest in maybe continuing that program, but I don't think anybody's continued it.
We need to make some phone calls because I know how important that can be to kids. And so you have a son, you know,
I do.
And we talked a little bit about him before we come on, and we don't have kids. I've said that before. Amy and I just chose to not. We have nephews now. I have a 11-year-old about to be 12, which is ridiculous. He's almost as big as his dad. I looked
fast
at him yesterday, and then we have a younger nephew that's, I guess he's 10 months. I have three, and then I have another one that's about to turn a year old, but you know, I picked my nephew up from school yesterday, and I serve as the I'm not the uncle that gives him everything, but I'm the uncle that's kind of fun, but at the same time try to do life lessons and say, hey, how was school today? And he's like, well, you know, this one kid wanting to fight, and I just kind of turned away, and I didn't let him run over me, but he knew that I didn't want to fight. And I said, well, good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, I said, and I'm not going to give anybody parenting advice on the show, I promise you. But it's, you know, kids need people in their lives.
They do.
To look to, and luckily my family's great for him and guides him, but Brandon, thank you for doing that. Maybe we can see if somebody can pick that up, because I know how important it is. Do you still maintain relationships with those that you've helped in the past?
Oh, absolutely. I've actually had the opportunity to hire kids that came through our Divert program, hire them as 911 dispatchers. And now some of them are having kids of their own and going on about life and have moved on to different career paths. But yeah, there are a lot of those kids that I still have contact with, or they contact when they have trouble or need advice.
I bet you'll never know, Brandon, how many people you've impacted. So kudos to you.
Because
it's a domino effect. If you've impacted those kids, and now they're probably thankful for you, and now they're impacting their kids. And so maybe their kids don't have to go through what they did.
Well, that's the hope. That's certainly the hope. And hopefully I never know, because that just keeps me trying harder.
That's right. But I'll try to remind you every now and then how awesome
it is. Well, I appreciate that.
We mentioned briefly, and we don't have to talk a lot about it, but you used to do a lot of education across the state. That hasn't been going on a lot here lately, right?
No, with the shift when we went to me as the sole assistant director, a lot more responsibility fell on my plate for the administrative roles, and there's just not time to do those things. Used to work with the Tennessee School Safety Center and get to travel around and talk about social media in schools and help schools with school safety planning. And just don't have the time to do that anymore, because if I'm doing that, then something here has to slide, and there's not enough room on the plate for all of it.
Yeah, you're so
busy. As much as I'd love to.
Well, I try to tell you, try to take some time off. Did you get to take some time off a couple weeks ago and go to Disney?
Absolutely. Well, we went to the beach this time.
Beach.
Yeah, we're not ready for Disney yet, because it's not fully opened back up, and we feel like we would miss out on some of the things we love about Disney.
I got you. I'm going someday as a kid.
You have to.
Yeah,
you have to.
We were like 5 and 6, and I remember it, but when you're that young, you don't fully realize how awesome it is. So we're going to go back sometime.
The magic's the same as an adult. You need to take your nephews, though.
That's what we want to do. So I think we're excited about that. Let's talk about career opportunities for 911 before we leave.
Yeah.
What's going on there for 911?
So we're actually in a hiring phase right now for part-time 911 dispatchers. And I think a lot of folks don't even think about 911 as a career option. We have dispatchers now. We have one that's over 40 years of service, one that's is approaching 40 years of service in 911, and just an awesome career.
Right.
You're a part of some of the biggest things that happen in the community, but you're doing so from a temperature-controlled room. You're not standing out in that thunderstorm when you're working that. You're not standing out in that ice storm when you're working that. But you have a huge role to play to make sure that those folks get the help that they do. And I think this generation, that's one of the things I think a lot of them want, is they want a meaning. They want a purpose to their life. And until you figure out exactly what that is, or maybe 911 is exactly what that is, this is a great way to start finding that purpose.
Yeah.
So we typically, once or twice a year, we'll open up for a part-time hiring batch. We'll grab applications. We go through a process with them. But anybody who's interested in that, interested in learning more about it, there are 911 centers in every Upper Cumberland County, and nearly every county is looking for some part-time 911 dispatchers. Some counties full-time right now.
Is there any pre-qualifications?
It's all on the job training.
Okay.
You have to be 18 years of age, and with a high school diploma. And beyond that, we do everything else on the job. We put you through the classes. We do the on-the-job training, depending on which center you work in. And we actually host the Upper Cumberland's classes here.
Sure.
We teach the Upper Cumberland basic dispatch class. So.
That's awesome. Brandon, thank you so much. Can never tell you how wonderful you are and how wonderful all of our emergency services in Putnam County are, because we know how much we need them, and we thank them all the time. But hope everybody has a good weekend. Come back, be with me in a few months.
Absolutely. Would love to.
Love having you here. Everybody have a good weekend. Remember, be kind to one another. Thank my producer, Will. He's really good at making me sound a lot better. He can't make me look better. Will, we'll work on that. But you make me sound better. So thank you to everyone listening. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.